RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people rating and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by AccuVitec, dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, AccuVitec makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and your home. Visit AccuVitec.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are telling you all about our recent spring break trip to the Lone Star State.
We hightailed it out of the snowy Northeast and headed into the warm embrace of Texas. From gas station tacos to San Antonio's Riverwalk, we had one amazing experience after another. We'll tell you about our time in Hill Country and Burleson, visiting cities, historical sites, state parks, and more restaurants than we care to admit.
You might think spring break means white sand beaches and coastal getaways, but Texas was the perfect place for RVFTA to kick off the camping season. You are listening to episode number 185, Camping Season Kickoff in Texas with Jellystone Camp Resorts.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Camping Season Kickoff in Texas with Jellystone Camp Resorts, we have to induct another item into the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame. And it's not like we have to. It's more like we want to.
It's a desire.
You surprised me again this week, and it was just like another one of those moments where I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. I would not have thought of this one, frankly. But before we induct that item into the Gear Hall of Fame, we have a sponsored message from our friends at AccuVitec.
Accuva is an innovative leader in building water filtration systems for the home and the RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water no matter where you are. Now, most RVers rely on bottled water or water filtered, and bottled water takes up a lot of space, it costs money, and it creates lots of plastic waste.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Well, we go through 2.5 gallons of spring water in 2 days of camping because we get one of those 2.5 gallon like big jugs for every time that we go away for a weekend.
And you so gotta I take know, your knife out and you gotta chop a hole in the top and you could cut yourself.
Now, when I was thinking about the fact that we spend about 70 nights a year camping, I realized that that is 45 of those about. Like, give or take, we probably go through, because I know that we go through more. You know, I said one for a weekend, but it's like one and a half. It's a little more than that. So I was thinking, like, you know, that's a lot of waste that we're saving in just this very first camping season. So I started to think about that, and that kind of made me pretty happy. And then also because they have the LED lights and the UV filter and they're hardly pulling any energy, this means that it's not going to pull on our solar bank.
Awesome. Oh, she's throwing down that. The solar bank. Another thing to say, I think it's attractive. And honestly, I'm considering that we might install one in our house as well, because they make them, you could use them at home or in the RV, as we mentioned already. I think I might like to have one at home because they're attractive looking. They look good.
All right. You can learn more at AccuVitec.com, or you can always find their link. Look for their AccuVitec logo at the bottom of the show notes to this episode. And if you click on that, it'll take you right through. All right, what are we inducting?
Let's talk walkie-talkies. Let's. And these, I think as you mentioned here, or you were going to mention, we bought them in November 13th, 2015.
Amazon
told me. You checked our Amazon history on that. So you're talking 3 years of rock solid use, and they all four, we have two sets, all four of them still work. And we use them religiously. I mean, occasionally I might not charge them up before a trip and then we won't use them. But I would say like 9 trips out of 10, we use these. Like the boys now, particularly Max and Theo, are old enough to go off to the playground, even though it might be 100 yards away or something from our site. We just send them with the walkie-talkies and they've been responsible with them for the most part. And it has worked very well. So we can call them back to dinner. Or if they're having any issues, they can just buzz us and say, hey, mom, dad, we need you. Wes fell off the playground or whatever it might be. And of course, you have to make decisions about whether you want to let your kids wander off with walkie-talkies based on their age and their responsibility and all that stuff. But it gives you a little bit of power to start making those decisions to maybe let your kids go off the site a little bit.
All right. So these are the Motorola Talk About radios. And here's the letters that come after, because there really are a lot of different models. And I can't exactly tell you what all the differences are, but it's MH230R. And then, of course, there's always a link in the show notes. And I have a little surprise for you. We're going to have a compilation of all of the RVFTA Gear Guide Hall of Fame coming up.
And they're yellow and black. That might help too, because all the Motorola ones are not yellow and black. Now, the one thing I will say is they come with these belt clips. And the first time we used them, we were at the Capital KOA in Maryland. And I think Theo was on his scooter and was scooting around and he fell off the scooter and he lost one of the belt clips. They come off a little bit easy. They're a little bit annoying. They're not the best part of the product, but you could almost just dump them.
I think that what you do is you dump them and you use a lanyard for around your child's neck. I think that that's a better idea. Or if your child has a bike basket, you know, we have a friend that she has a bike basket and she always keeps her walkie-talkie in the bike basket. And I think that that's another good solution. Now, I want to mention that these are not just good for your kids. You know, walking, maybe we like to give our kids a little more responsibility now and say, hey, bring this garbage to the dumpster. We try to give them a lot of chores, not a lot, but more than they have, because we think it's important. So we'll say, bring a walkie-talkie with you. But it's also good because a lot of campgrounds just don't have good cell service. So, you know, your partner, your spouse might go off to the playground with the kids and you want to call them back for dinner and you're texting them and they're not getting the text if there's not cell service. And that's happened to us a lot. Now, we oftentimes will just take a walkie-talkie and Jeremy will say to me, hey, call us back, you know, if dinner's ready.
And I don't know the exact range of these, but it's much further than we would ever let the kids get.
Yeah,
get
away exactly. From exactly. Because it depends, like when they give you the specs, you know, for the product, it depends on whether you're in a hilly area. It depends on whether you're like mountain to valley. And it depends on whether you're in like a neighborhood where there's lots of other interference, right? So they give you the different lengths, like whether it be, you know, the half mile or whether it be longer than that if you're in a different kind of environment. So you can look at those specs. Now, another thing to think about is people use these when they're backing up into campsites. So one person will stand at the back with the walkie-talkie. The other person will have the walkie-talkie in the car. Smart people that don't want to yell at each other for the whole campground. Well,
smart people unlike us.
Yeah, we don't do that. We just yell at each other.
We've never used them for that reason.
But people it makes total sense.
It makes all the sense. I mean, look, we got a 34-foot toy hauler. There are times when you're backing me up where I can't see you.
Yeah.
And you disappear from my sight line. And then that I yell like, Stephanie, where are you? And then you yell back. And then all of a sudden we're fighting. It's a scene at the campground. The police are there, et cetera, et cetera. No, it never gets that bad. But we are, I mean, look, we are that cliched couple that I guess most people are, that we kind of get a little annoyed at each other when we're backing in and helping each other.
You mean you don't listen to my directions?
Yeah, exactly.
And I get annoyed at that.
Exactly. Or what I mean is you disappear in my sightline and I can't see you. All right. How much are these?
All right. So a set of two is about $100, depending on where you buy them, but at Amazon you're coming in at about $100. There's also a set of four that's going to give you a little bit of a discount under $200 if you want all four. They have parental locks on them, so you can set. There's 22 channels, and you can put the channel that you want to be on, and you can also lock it so that your kids aren't, you know, at the playground changing the channel and then they can't hear you. So it just really has a lot of like great reasonable features that work well in a campground environment. I think that you could get away with giving these to your kids as gifts, which is what we did, and they love them. It's fun. Another thing that we do is if we're camping with friends, we'll be sitting around a fire at a campsite. Well, the kids are in the camper and they can just walkie us if they need something or whatever. If we're
they do get used a lot in those situations when we're buddy
camping. There's just a million different ways that these walkie-talkies can be used. So I think that they're really really worth investing in.
And the Motorola ones last. All right, let's break down what we're doing this episode. We're going to do three segments. The first segment, we're going to talk about everything we did in Hill Country, Texas, including, broadly speaking, San Antonio, Austin, and Fredericksburg. We're not going to talk about the campground. That is over on our Campground of the Week episode this week. We stayed at Jellystone Hill Country. We give a complete review on that other podcast. So these are paired episodes.
And then next week, we'll give a complete review on Burleson.
On Burleson. But in this episode, in segment two, we'll talk about everything we did while we were in Jellystone Burleson, including the Fort Worth Stockyards, downtown Burleson, and some other things we did up in that area, Dinosaur Valley State Park, which was awesome. So we're talking everything.
You're giving it all away, Jar.
It's a sneak peek. Talking about everything non-campground here, and then we'll come back at the end and do the RV FTA news roundup, and we got some exciting news and lots of stuff going on, so you're going to want to stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment one of our big Texas episode. We're going to talk about all the cool things that we did in beautiful Hill Country. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The Octane SLX and Octane toy haulers never cease to amaze. Built for cargo, equipped for recharging, and designed with a style all its own, it has the bases covered so you can cover more ground. It's also covered by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. The Octane and the Octane SLX give you the freedom to explore and take your toys along for the ride. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, we had so much fun in Texas, and I really thought we were going to have an awesome trip, but it was better than awesome. It was an epic trip, and I loved Texas more than I even thought I would. Do you agree?
Oh, we had such a good time. Everybody in the family had such a good time and walked away feeling very like attached to the trip and feeling like it was a new experience. You know, we had the opportunity, actually. Jellystone said, hey, we want to do this, you know, camping season kickoff, and we'd love for you guys to join us. The timing happened to work out perfectly with our spring break, and it just felt like the universe was saying, go to Texas, right? And if we had listed our top five places that we would go for spring break this year, that wouldn't have been in it. It wasn't in the game plan. And I just feel so lucky that things just kind of aligned that way, and we got to do this because we wouldn't have planned it, and it was just a wonderful
better
vacation.
Than anything we would have planned without this spurring us on. And the Jellystone camping kickoff in Burleson was for the weekend, but we just decided that since we're flying to Texas, we really wanted to see San Antonio and Austin and Hill Country. We made it a 9-day trip, and it truly was an epic trip. And every epic trip to Texas should probably start with a trip to Buc-ee's.
Well, people, this is the great part about what we do is we have this Facebook group, right? RVFTA, the group. And now this is perfect for us because we have listeners all over the country and we can like now drop in like a question or ask for a recommendation and boom, we get them and we get great ones from
and
our listeners.
And by the way, you could do that too in our Facebook group.
And people do. Like, yeah. There's so many great recommendations. But the thing was, is somebody put in something about us going to Hill Country after they heard it on the podcast. And it was just in a thread that people started talking about Buc-ee's.
Everybody started like, Buc-ee's.
I didn't know what Buc-ee's
was. It's not a gas station. It's a gas-tination. I mean, it's like this gas station that's legendary. Now, they largely seem to be located in the Houston area with a bunch around San Antonio and Austin. And then not – once you go up towards Dallas.
No, there was one up there by Dallas.
No, there was one, but it starts to thin out a little bit.
Don't act like you're a Buc-ee's expert. I mean, we're going to get emails from
– I actually did a little research before the podcast. There are 25 Buc-ee's stores. Okay. But the magic can best be described by a comment that somebody dropped on our Facebook page. It's Texas in a box. Yeah. A big box.
It's a big box.
It is like, it's almost like the size of like a smaller Target store or like a small Kmart. And outside there could be maybe up to 100 different places,
gas pumps.
Mm-hmm. And then inside, it is like this gigantic store that is all things Texas. And the food is good.
Right.
And there are tons of food options in Bucky's. Stephanie, can you break down some of the food options there?
Well, so we actually landed in Dallas-Fort Worth at about 5 in the afternoon. And we had to drive, you know, three and a half hours south to get to the Hill Country Jellystone where we were staying that night. And we knew it was going to be a long drive. And we had prepped the boys. We were like, look, it's going to be a drive when we get down. So the first thing that we did once we got on our route was like, I brought up on Google Maps, like Bucky's, like along the route to find it. And it turned out it was like 2 hours into the drive. And we were like, can we make it? We can. Because everybody was talking about their tacos and their pulled pork sandwiches and their jerky. And let me tell you something, if you want to talk our family's love language, it's tacos and barbecue.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody, we all love it.
And the pulled pork sandwiches are grab and go. They're like all made before. It's not like they're making it fresh in front of you, but it tastes like
making it. The guys are right there in the middle making it. In fact, they yell out this whole thing, like this sausage thing, when they cut the sausage.
I missed that because I was like totally looking at the cast iron selection and the jerky bar.
Yeah. And you can get samples of all the jerky.
And the beaver nuggets, weren't they hot?
And the beaver nuggets are like caramel popcorn-y kind of a treat.
Almost like a little Captain Crunch thing going on.
Mm-hmm. So we stopped there for dinner and everybody was starving.
Well, and by the way, let me stop you for 1 second. There's like lots of signs for Bucky's on the way to Bucky's. Like they'll start 30 miles before you get there. And one of the early signs says, you just need to hold it for another 30 miles.
Hold it.
And at that point, Theo was holding it. And we all insisted, Theo, we can't stop now. We've got to get to Bucky's because we didn't want to stop at two places, you know?
Yeah.
And then we ended up going back to Bucky's two more times.
Maybe more. I don't know.
I think we did three total Bucky's trips, two different Bucky's.
Yeah.
Because there's one in Hill Country there.
And every time, everybody was so thrilled with their food. It's almost absurd how much we enjoyed the food at Bucky's.
The food was so good. It's a celebration of life. Bucky's is a celebration of Texas, and
the boys
it's a celebration
would start
of
chanting.
Life.
Chanting. It was just like unbelievable.
They thought
fun.
Those were like some of the best tacos they've ever had.
Yeah. They
were thrilled. And by the way, Texas, I didn't know that your tacos were so good.
Yeah. Well, our boys, if I had to pick one thing that I had to feed them every day for the rest of their lives, it would be tacos because they're always so thrilled to eat them. So Texas was very nice that way because we could just go from one taco joint to another and all of our bellies were so happy. That works for us.
All right. So we got to the campground in Hill Country. We got settled. We got situated. We spent the first day at the campground chillaxing. And now I want to give a shout out to David from Aspen Grove Studios, who redesigned our website, the new RVFTA.com. He's the genius behind Aspen Grove Studios, and they just hit a grand slam on our website.
Yeah, if anybody out there wants a website done,
and you should hire Aspen Grove, but the thing is, don't get them so busy that we can't talk to them anymore. I'll resent it. But you know, when you're
redesigning, he brought us tacos.
He did bring us tacos and
bags
good tacos.
Of tacos.
But when you're having a website redesigned, you spend a lot of time on the phone. And I think over the course of the summer and the website redesign, we really felt like we got to know David really well and just really enjoy him as a person. So it was just downright awesome meeting him in person in Texas. And then like 2 days later, we're hanging out with Kate Dunbar in Texas. And then also one of our podcast listeners, we got to meet Kivett.
Yeah. And that's my,
did I say his name right?
Kivett. Yeah. And I think that's why it felt like home in a way. Like we did meet so many people that we have gotten to know and love. And, you know, it felt like an unfamiliar place that we were totally comfortable in. So it was a great time in a new place with old friends.
And
in
now
a way.
The first big outing we did was to San Antonio, and it was Sunday of Final Four weekend,
which we didn't know.
Yeah,
I guess we have our head in the sand.
Well, I used to be a huge college basketball fan, but I have to admit it kind of slipped my mind that it was there. Now, we went right to the Alamo. Now, San Antonio was like less than an hour from the campground. And I'm talking about door-to-door parked in San Antonio. We had an easy time getting in and out of the city.
So easy.
Parked right by the Alamo. It was affordable. And the Alamo was the highlight of Theo's trip. I asked the whole family, what was your favorite thing? It was Theo's favorite thing. It might be my favorite thing from Texas.
But not Max, huh?
Max said the Riverwalk, and I think he just
to be different.
He might have wanted to say something different.
Yeah, I had heard him talk about the Alamo over and over again, too. So here's the thing about the Alamo is that We went there, and when you go, you know, you can of course just walk around for free. They have lots of information on plaques all over the place and blah, blah, blah. But I walked up to the desk because you have to buy tickets if you want the guided tour. And it's an hour to an hour and a half long guided tour. And the gentleman behind the desk, like, almost tried to convince me because he saw my three kids. He tried
to was a young man in his 20s, and he said euphemistically, it's geared for adults. And I mean, I have to be honest, Stephanie and I both looked at that as a challenge almost.
Well,
and almost he was discouraging us. But our boys do tours. And I'm not saying I have the most well-behaved kids on the planet, but they are actually incredibly well-behaved on tours and in museums and sightseeing. They behave well.
Right. So if that happens to you, do not let anybody discourage you from doing the tour of the Alamo. Because here's the thing. We enjoyed the Alamo so much, but I know it's only because we did that tour. If we had just been like wandering around reading the plaques and everything, our boys never would have like experienced that place like we did. But because we sat there and we listened to this young guy who was very great at giving a tour, even though he wasn't good at encouraging kids to go on it, you know, he, as the boys said, brought it alive. He painted the picture of the Alamo. He told the, you know, gave us that historical background that we don't have because we aren't taught Texas history in New Jersey, you know.
I did a 4 or 5 minute video of Max recapping the Texas trip, and he spent half of it talking about the Alamo. It would be awesome if you could drop that
in the show
notes.
I can put it into the show notes.
I want to go as far as to say that, and this might be controversial, I don't think I would have really enjoyed it if we didn't do the tour.
No, I don't think so.
I would not really have been astonished by it. Mm-mm. The tour made it astonishing.
It would have seemed like a bunch of bricks. And if, you know, we do like to do these travel guides, but we also like to get a little global about stuff. And we've been doing enough family travel with our boys since they were very little to have learned that tours are the thing and you should train them young. I can't tell you the experiences that we've had taking the pirate tour in Charleston, touring the Naval Academy in Maryland. Like, these experiences have given our boys memories that they never would have had if we hadn't been on the tour, because good tour guides just bring things alive.
And it was more important here than so many other places, because much of what the tour guide is talking about is now occupied by shops, right? I mean, a lot of
Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the battle happened on places that are now like streets and stores. So you're imagining, you have to reimagine it. I mean, the actual buildings aren't really that big. And just over the course of time, they did not preserve everything that was originally part of the structure. So the tour guide helped us imagine it and was saying, oh, over there across the street by that store, that's where this happened. Mm-hmm. And that was incredibly, incredibly helpful.
Right. I mean, and even the stories that he told about that, about over across the corner where there's nothing there yet. And the slave Joe, right, surviving that attack and going over our boys can retell that story to this day because he painted it vividly.
And if you didn't do that tour, you would have looked across and you would have seen a t-shirt shop.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But in your imagination, you were able to reenact it.
Yeah, now, that's one of my big takeaways of just our travel in general is take the tour every time.
I agree. And push your kids a little bit on it, you know. So after that, you're right by the Riverwalk. If you're at the Alamo, you just mosey right on over to the Riverwalk. And it is one of the most beautiful sections of any city I have seen in America or abroad in all of my travel experience
in my life.
It really
is gorgeous. Now, don't get me wrong. All it is restaurants and shops. Like, it's, you know, but it is a gorgeous way to stroll along restaurants and shops. I mean, it is just phenomenally beautiful and it's peaceful and it was totally crowded because of the Final Four and it didn't even matter. We had a lovely time walking it.
I was amazed. There's no fence or half wall between you. I was thinking people must fall in all the time because there's huge crowds of people. Now, it was Final Four weekend, and about 2 or 3 minutes after we got out onto the Riverwalk, we ran right into Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
He was just hanging out there about to sit down for lunch. I was a huge Dick Vitale fan as a kid. And I really wanted my picture with him, but he was getting bombarded.
We kind of felt bad.
He was
being super nice to everybody,
but he really looked like he wanted to sit down and get some lunch.
Yeah. So we were just like, oh, let's just walk. Let's not get a picture. We felt bad. So we kept going, but that was fun. And the boys, you know, had fun going, oh my gosh, we saw the celebrity that dad knows and everything. So we ended up eating. So our kind of top choices for food on the Riverwalk were like hour-long waits or more because of all the crowds. So we ended up eating at this Mexican restaurant that literally we were walking by and the guy goes, I can seat you right now. And we said, awesome, seat us. Well, it's called The Original. Like it was a Mexican restaurant. And I'm telling you, it was like standard
perfectly
Mexican
fine.
Restaurant.
And the thing was, the guy's like, I have a table right here for you. And it was a table with a direct view of the water.
Yeah. So
it was
a really nice table. There.
So it wasn't the top ranked place that you know, Stephanie might typically want to go to.
Yeah.
But it was perfectly acceptable. So look, if you get out on the Riverwalk and it's super busy and the kids are hungry, just dive in and eat somewhere.
It doesn't matter. Somebody else was like, oh, I always eat at the Hard Rock Cafe when I go there. Like, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy a meal sitting there looking at the water. It's pretty and it's fun and it's really unlike anything else.
Now, while you're doing the Riverwalk, this is an unusual recommendation. I really wanted a baseball cap because I didn't bring a baseball cap and it was sunny and nice out. And I was like, I got to get a baseball cap somewhere. And I actually wanted a San Antonio Spurs hat because I've always sort of admired the Spurs from afar and I played basketball.
We used to watch basketball all the time.
Yeah, we used to, you know, really root for
San Antonio. Back when we had a lot of leisure time.
And so I just asked somebody, hey, where can you get, a San Antonio Spurs cap? And they said Lids, a store named Lids, which was in the mall. Inside.
But the mall was, you walked down the whole Riverwalk and it just brought you right to the mall. So it ended up being a really nice walk. And then the mall had all these windows and it was actually off the Riverwalk. The mall was like, it's where the riverboat actually goes down and turns around and goes back the other way or something. Because we saw them coming in there. So it was a perfectly nice place to shop.
And this was just all hats. So Lids is all Lids. It's all hats. And they have all the Texas teams and all the Texas hats. So if you want to grab a Texas sports cap or something like that, go to Lids. It was good. I got a great Spurs hat that
all
I was thrilled with.
Now let's move on to Fredericksburg. So about a month ago, we had Kate do an entire travel episode with recommendations from the Fredericksburg region. This is big wildflower season. So it's a big destination right now at this time of the year. And that was episode number 181. So we actually met up with Kate while we were there and we toured Fredericksburg with her and we took advantage of some of her recommendations. We started off at the Wild Seed Farms, which the boys really enjoyed. Like, they brought
in there. I mean, Kate was thinking about the fact that our kids would be with us, and she picked the perfect place to take us. And I wanted to do some photography of some wildflowers and some bluebonnets, and so did she. And it was just great seeing her and
fields
hanging out with her.
Of wildflowers.
And it was like we were getting a tour of Fredericksburg from a Texan and from Kate Dunbar. So it was a great day, and it truly was one of the best days in the trip.
Now, we ended up having lunch at the Auslander German Bavarian cuisine restaurant that she had recommended, and I was excited to have those German potato skins, which were so good. That was
my
favorite thing.
They're very different than your typical potato skins.
I love them, right? And then my plan was to go do some LBJ stuff, right? Because there's the state park nearby. Okay. But we drove past the National Museum of the Pacific War, and outside there are all of those cannons.
Like a tank
and
cannons. And the boys were like, we want to go.
They begged.
And you know, Stephanie and I have said over the years on the podcast, it is important to sometimes be flexible and to let your kids lead the way because they can quickly, if they're being forced from one thing to the next that they don't want to do, they could start to resent the entire trip. So look, we heard that they wanted to go. Kate had told us it was an awesome museum on the podcast. I mean, there's no doubt. But it ended up being the best museum I think our family has been to anywhere ever. It was so immersive.
I'm still confused. I'm still like, how did this amazing museum end up in?
Because of that
Admiral
Nimitz.
No. Like, I understand the story behind it, but it is an amazingly well curated museum. Like, the way that they have it laid out, the way that they have the information presented, and they have the wands that you can type in the different numbers, and they have just the right amount of visual content,
like real army jeeps,
reading content, and it just the way the museum unfolds, the fact that my 8-year-olds were enraptured,
captivated
for hours. hours. They were in there for 2.5 hours,
and,
I think.
I mean, Wesley made it that long, and he was interested in asking questions.
I don't know. I'm like, this is really a remarkable museum.
I've never... Well, obviously a lot of money went into this museum, and the gallery that we were in, I think, was the George H.W. Bush Gallery. So, I mean, there's some major backing behind this museum, wherever that's coming from. But I've never been in a museum that really made me feel like I was transported to the time period that it was depicting. And I know that, you know, that's not like we went back in time, but we got as close as you can get to going back into
time. It almost gives me a little bit of shivers because it really did just, I mean, look, we've learned a lot about World War II. Like, it's not like some wars that you don't really, or you're not really that familiar with. But this was amazing and immersive. And I really think that the people, whoever it was that curated the design of this museum, should be consultants for like museums around the country because it was amazing.
I had a really kind of special, unique experience in there too. I saw an older gentleman in his 90s and what I thought was his son, somebody who was probably in his 50s, maybe even in his 60s, going through. And clearly this gentleman that was probably in his 90s, well, I found out later he was in his 90s. Clearly he was a World War II veteran and he was very familiar with everything he was looking at. And he was talking about everything in such a way that made it clear that he had lived through the war and fought in the war. And the younger man started taking pictures of the older man. And I said, hey, guys, let me get your picture together. So I took their picture together, which I offer to people a lot or whatever, and I started chatting with them. The younger man, who was a nephew, lives in our town, and he goes to a church 10 doors down from our house. He lives like a half a mile away from my house in my town.
Yeah.
So it was just an overall cool experience, and I got to talk to his, if he was the nephew, his uncle. And just talked to him about the war a little bit. And it was amazing. And it made me sentimental because I really miss my grandfather, who was a World War II veteran as well. So
now we also did a little less serious. We did some shopping while we were there. And we went into Camp Hayden.
Hayden, again, a Kate Dunbar recommendation. She's like, I think I said, oh, what's that Camp Hayden? She's like, oh, you want to go over there.
Yeah. If RVFTA opened a shop, it would look like Camp Hayden. I felt like it just perfectly captured. Like, it even had all the old Coleman stoves as decorations and lanterns.
It looked like my garage a little bit.
Yeah.
but then they have all of these, like, camping t-shirts and camping blankets and all just kind of different camp gear. A little on the upscale, hip side.
Yeah.
But then you got talking to the girl that was working there, and you got the story behind Camp Hayden.
Right. So it's another company, actually, that doesn't do a lot of, like, camp gear or anything. But what happened was this guy, he had a grandfather who basically had a camp that they all spent all of their summers at, you know, like a lake house kind of a thing. And they'd all go out there and they camp. So all the entire store was decorated with his grandfather's actual authentic camping collection of things. And all of the pictures, there's these big canvas images throughout the entire store of just like black and white images of people camping, you know, and on the lake and canoeing and everything. They were all the real images from this guy's childhood growing up at Camp Hayden. That was cool.
And they had really cool and unique kind of mugs and t-shirts and contemporary
stuff. I could have
stuff.
Bought it. We walked out without buying anything.
Which
you know,
was
when
a
you're
shock.
Traveling, well, not, but I could have bought a lot of things in there. Like there would have been, I could have picked 20 things that I would have liked to have had. It was really great collection.
We had a great day in Fredericksburg, and it's like we did so much.
And you had
in
to end
country.
It with a cup of coffee before we drove
well,
home. Where'd
you I get did.
Your cup of coffee?
All you guys waited in the car while I ran in and got coffee. So I went to the Java Ranch Espresso Bar and Cafe. It had a nice Western theme. They were very friendly in there. They had craft roasted beans from a place in Austin. They weren't doing it on site, but they were getting them from Austin. So I bought two bags of really, really good coffee. And I would recommend if you want coffee while you're in Fredericksburg, hit up the Java Ranch and grab a bag to bring back home with you.
All right, now let's wrap up this section by talking about our visit to Austin. Now, if you followed along this far, you know that we, you know, flew into Texas and we visited San Antonio and then we visited Fredericksburg. So then this was the third day of us like kind of driving somewhere to do sightseeing. And if you have younger kids, you know that that is pushing your luck a little bit because the other days were very jam-packed with like very, I would just say like it takes a lot of attention from kids to take tours of the Alamo and to take tours of the Pacific War Museum.
Stephanie, you're smart. You don't like to just bring the boys into a city and like walk around and shop and eat. it doesn't really captivate their attention, even if it's an amazing city like Austin. And Austin's an amazing city. I'm sure it's kid friendly in many ways. But just for our family, just the like parking in a city and getting out and just checking things out doesn't seem to work the best.
Well, the boys are like, what are we doing? And they were a little bit torn out at that point.
True.
And we knew that. So we couldn't do as much in Austin as maybe you would if it had been our first day. Like, so for example, everybody raves about the Capitol and we saw it, you know, from a distance. But we didn't really engage in it. Like they say, there's great tours. There's lots of information there if you go inside. But we didn't do that just because I felt like our boys were not like up for it.
Yeah. And like clearly Austin's one of the coolest cities I've ever been to. I could live in and around Austin. It wasn't the best day on our trip. And that was all about like personal things. But we did find our way to Toy Joy. The first place we went to was a wacky toy store where Theo bought several whoopee cushions, yeah, which he proceeded to use.
And Wesley has a fireman duck that he's currently playing with in the bathtub. I mean, not at this moment. He's not like unobserved in the bathtub.
That would be really bad parenting.
But he's now at home using it.
And then I bullied my way into a trip to Book People, which is a really famous independent bookstore in downtown
gorgeous
Austin.
Bookstore.
And it's a gorgeous bookstore. I mean, nothing beats Powell's in Portland, Oregon, but this is competitive. It's up there with a bookstore like Powell's. It's a two-floor bookstore. It's gigantic.
Really nice kids section too. So if your kids are the type that will, you know, look at books while you look at books, then this is a good place for you to go.
Lots of Texas history books, Texas culture books. I mean, it's like if you're at all interested in reading or bookstores, you want to go to Book People in Austin. And then we lucked out. There was a road food joint from Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food about a block away from Book People. And it's called Hut's Hamburgers. And it's just a downtown funky Austin hamburger joint that's got like 30 different types of hamburgers. And we had great burgers there.
Yep, delicious. Good lunch too, because again, for the kids, they can always like pound a good cheeseburger.
I had the Buddy Holly. The onion rings were delicious. Jane and Michael Stern said to make sure you get the onion rings.
The kids had milkshakes, so that always makes them perk up and become happy. And now, of course, we were there celebrating Wes's birthday. Wes's fifth birthday happened while we were there in Texas. So we actually ended the day by going to a place called The Picnic. It's a food truck park, right? So there's a lot of food truck parks in Austin. And this is one of the places where there's like a gathering of, you know, I think there was like maybe 7 or 8 food trucks in that area.
And there were at least 2 Airstreams that were part of this picnic food truck.
Yeah.
And one of them is Hay Cupcake.
Right. And we got Wes, his birthday cupcakes at Hay Cupcake. And we picked out the ones that everybody wanted. And that was fun. But there was also Dock and Roll there, which just like had like lobster rolls and like fish. There was Coat and Thai, like as in T-H-A-I, Thai food. Very cute. Vietnamese food. There was barbecue there. So really a huge variety.
And like, we don't have that food truck culture right around where we live. I really liked it. You know, I wish we did. So what a great combination. Like if you're staying at Jellystone Hill Country, or if you're just staying in Hill Country, you can do San Antonio, you can do Fredericksburg, and you can do Austin, and you can do Hill Country itself, which frankly, the one thing we really didn't get to necessarily was just exploring Hill Country.
Well, Fredericksburg is Hill Country.
I know.
But you mean Canyon Lake. Like, we didn't do a lot
Canyon Lake
right
area
around.
And the more rural areas. And there is hiking there, and there are rivers there and tubing and all kinds of stuff. But we really wanted to do San Antonio and Austin, and time was limited. So it was my favorite of the 2 stops on the trip. Still loved heading up north towards Dallas-Fort Worth area. We'll come back in a second and we'll break down our stay at Jellystone Burleson and all the things we did in North Texas. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Are you ready to drive north to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Stephanie?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I didn't know that was going to be a question. You caught me off guard.
Yeah. So let's head up to North Texas and talk about the time we spent around Fort Worth in Burleson, Texas. And we had a great time up there. It was another great campground, which we're going to review next week on Campground of the Week. But before we give you all the deets about this stop on our trip, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And if you are planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups this upcoming year, you need to snag yourself a Smart Tote 2 LX, which is going to allow you to easily empty the gray water during your stay so you can keep showering, you can keep doing the dishes, you can keep doing all those things and make your RV comfortable. The auto stop level gauge prevents messy overfilling, and the handle hooks onto the trailer hitch so you can easily tow it up to the dump station.
It's the most stylish gray water tote, which, you know, let's get controversial. Some people use it for the black water too. That's a personal call that you will have to make.
All right. I don't think we will do that, but it comes in 18, 27 or 35 gallon models. And you can visit thetford.com for more information, or you can follow the links that we give you for the models that we have.
I recommend the 27 gallon. That's the one we've had and the one we've used that works well for us. Let's talk about Burleson. So Burleson is outside of the Fort Worth, Dallas area. We stayed at Jellystone Burleson, aka the North Texas Jellystone. I think it's really just about 2 miles from downtown Burleson. It's just a couple of minutes drive.
Yeah.
And downtown Burleson was really an adorable, cute little town.
Sure. We were actually shocked because we went in the night we got there. We went in because we needed takeout. We didn't have anything to cook for dinner back at the campground. And we were going to eat there. And I said to Jeremy, we went into the place where we were eating at, and I said,
which
it was Frescos, right?
Cucina Mexicana. Mm-hmm.
And I said, Jeremy, it's Wednesday night and it's bustling here. I was like, you would have almost thought that it was a Saturday night just with how much there was going on and how much energy there was in this downtown. So it turns out that this has really got a lot going on.
It's a hip little downtown.
We had a lot of food there over our stay. We ate at Babe's Chicken Dinner House, which was
takeout
and brought it
back to the campground. And it was all the chicken was off the hook good.
Our boys were like practically like, I don't know, they were like dying. They were licking their plate.
Clean.
It was so crazy.
The biscuits,
the mashed potatoes, the green beans, everything.
Every bite of it was good. Apparently, this is a very famous place.
Yeah, well, we were told by locals that we had to go here, and so we did.
One of the tour guides on one of the tours we did said that that's where he goes for his birthday every year.
Yeah.
That's like a real serious Texas guy.
So when people give us recommendations like that, we make sure that we take them up on it, and we did, and it was amazing. And then we also had friends that we were at the Jellystone that ate at the Old Texas Brewing Company, and they actually did some catering for an event at the Jellystone. So we had a meal from there, and that was delicious barbecue.
And I went in one morning, and like I said, it was only about 5 minutes from the campground at the most, and I brought back coffee from Dwell Coffee, which is like a totally hipster coffee joint.
You said it was really hipster.
Well, they don't have dark roast.
Yeah.
And once you walk into a coffee joint like that and everything's light or medium roast, you know it's a hipster coffee joint, man. That's like a New York City, Brooklyn coffee joint. And I got biscuits there as well. So I got honey butter biscuits, and I brought us both back
jalapeno cheddar biscuits.
And that's right. I got the jalapeno cheddar. And I brought us both back pour overs, and I chose the Kenya, and it was a really good cup of coffee, much like a cup of coffee you would get in New York City at a super good place.
Yeah, so downtown Burleson, it was really surprising with all of its cosmopolitan choices there for us over the few days, and we had a great time eating basically our way through Burleson.
We also had a great time at the Stockyards in Fort Worth. That was all your pick, Stephanie, to go in for a day, and it really is sort of a full day trip. We did the tour there as well, and once again, again, I would not have enjoyed this section of Fort Worth if we did not do the tour.
Right. So just a little history for everybody. So the Stockyards is a section of Fort Worth. It's a little bit outside of downtown Fort Worth, but it is the last major stop along the Chisholm Trail that runs up to Kansas City. So this trail was how the cowboys herded these longhorn cattle. And I had no idea the history of longhorn cattle in Texas. And
I sound surprised. You sound
like I should have. I don't know.
I can't believe I didn't know the history.
I didn't know anything about longhorn cattle. So it was so fascinating to find out about how, you know, they were originally let loose from the monasteries and everything.
And the origin of the Texas cowboy and what that means.
And so they used to round them up all the way down around like Galveston and the coast. And then they would bring them up along this trail. And Fort Worth was like that last stopping place to feed them, to water them and everything before heading all the way up to Kansas City, where you'd get, you know, the best price for your cattle.
Girl learned a lot, didn't she?
Oh, it was so interesting. So, you know, again, that tour was great. And I walked away. I would have thought like the Stockyards was just like, oh, look, this little historical area. But I learned.
And there's the hotel that Bonnie and Clyde stayed in. We walked into there. Apparently, they'll let you see the Bonnie and Clyde suite if no one is staying in it. I asked at the counter.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And somebody was staying in it, but we still checked out that hotel.
Now, there's good shopping, I would say, in the Stockyards station. I have to say that I felt like it wasn't all just T-shirts and kitsch. Like, there was some actual handmade leather goods.
It was a mix. Like touristy, and then some more like sophisticated items.
More like craft items that are more authentic and really well made. So you could do some good shopping there if you wanted to. I don't shop a lot when I'm flying because I just don't have to worry about getting anything back. And then you can also see the cattle drive twice a day. And I think it's every day. I don't know, seven days a week, but I think it's every day.
I think it was. Yeah. Double check us on that.
So they drive. Yeah, they bring the Longhorn down the road. And you can sit there on the edges of the road and kind of watch this, like, cow parade.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And we had lunch at H3 Ranch.
Which wasn't awesome, but it was serviceable, right?
It was B plus to me. Totally.
Everybody recommended it, so we went there, but it was fine. It just didn't
blow us away.
We were
also there for lunch. Maybe dinner's more of a thing in terms of getting great steaks there and stuff like that. But a really fun day at the Fort Worth Stockyards. I would totally recommend it if you're in that area. Okay. Maybe the highlight of this second part of our trip was Dinosaur Valley State Park. And again, over on RVFTA, the group, a lot of people kept saying, oh, you got to go over there. You got to go over there. And, you know, we take those recommendations seriously when you have a bunch of local people saying it. So we did go over there for a day and it is beautiful. And the boys were fascinated at seeing the dinosaur footprints.
I was shocked at how pretty it was.
I thought it was like you park and you go look at some dinosaur footprints, and then you go home and you talk about the dinosaur footprints. Honestly, the place would have been amazing without the dinosaur footprints.
Oh, yeah.
It was just gorgeous.
With the swimming hole. So we went down to one of the parking lots. Like, I think it was like number 3 or 4 has a lot of the footprints. And you walk down to the riverbed and you can kind of go out there along all the stones. And you know what? It's like one of those things where the boys, we've had a long, really long cold, snowy winter here in the Northeast. And this was like that first chance for them to just take off those socks and shoes and splash around in a riverbed. And
it's 89 degrees.
They were so happy. And I was like, guys, let's walk up. And honestly, they were a little like, I don't know, because they just wanted to sit there and splash around. But I kind of forced the issue because I wanted to walk all the way up and see the swimming hole and any of the other stuff up there. We had such a good time going up the river. Don't walk, you know, getting into it, swimming in it. It was fantastic. I loved it.
And then we were hungry.
Oh, yeah, and we only left because we were hungry.
And people recommended all kinds of cool things in that area, and we just kind of like wanted to get something that was right on our way out of town. So we ended up at, how would you say this, Stephanie?
I have to look at the word. I'm missing my notes here. Tacote, T-A-C-O-T-E.
And let me tell you something. I had the best $3 breakfast burrito in America. Okay. Sausage, eggs, potatoes, and sour cream. And it was $3, man.
Yeah,
and it was
awesome.
Big. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is like a local joint here.
Yeah, Dive.
It was like a Dive with really good reviews and really good food. And we all had awesome tacos and awesome everything there.
A lot of people in the group had recommended like a soda shop that's downtown in Glen Rose.
Yeah, it sounded great.
And it sounded great. It's just that our boys were like all dirty and wet from splashing around.
Soaked.
And they did not want to go in. Like, they just were like not in the mood to go in and sit down somewhere and give somebody their order. They wanted Dive food.
Let's be honest here. We didn't bring our bathing suits to Dinosaur Valley State Park, which was frankly a mistake.
Because
we didn't realize
what a
swimming experience.
As we were walking along the riverbed, our son Theo kept saying, gosh, I wish we had been prepared.
I know. And that type of statement just destroys Stephanie.
I wish we had been better prepared.
And then, so when Stephanie says that we were all wet, we were actually all wet and looking for a place to eat there.
Yeah.
So that was a really good pull. And I really want to go back to Dinosaur Valley State Park because there's all these hiking trails and all these things that we did not do. And there's a great little campground in there.
There is. And we drove around. We talked to the ranger about the campground. We drove all through the campground. We looked at certain sites, which ones, you know, could be. We talked to Kivett about the campground, and he was telling us about sort of how the reservations work a little bit and giving us a little bit of
inside scoop. Well, there hasn't been reservations, but they're moving towards it, I think.
No, you can reserve, but you can't reserve a site. So the problem is that people then will go and try to nab because there is a huge difference in sites. Some are huge, some are small.
There's it's a small campground to begin with, and then there's a small handful of sites that would fit, say, a 35-foot travel trailer. So if you show up and you might not be able to get a site for your 35-foot travel trailer. Now, if you've got a, 14-foot pop-up or something, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But I would camp there, man. It was a really cool little campground.
Yeah, I'd love it. In the shoulder seasons, I think it'd be one of those campgrounds that'd be perfect at that time of the year that we were there.
And again, a reminder, we stayed at Jellystone Burleson, which is also known as the North Texas Jellystone. Jellystone likes to have a lot of different names for their campgrounds, apparently.
It's like a hobby.
And we're going to review that next week on Campground of the Week. And this week we reviewed Jellystone Hill Country. So these are all paired episodes. And you could also dig back a week and look at Kate's episode on Fredericksburg. She went into a lot of detail of a lot of things that we did not even get to do on this trip.
This spring, it's a lot of love to Texas. Texas has a huge listening population
it's
for
like our
number podcast.
Two state next
it's
to California.
It's a huge RVing state. And we just really wanted to say, hey, like, let's cover Texas.
And a thank you to all our Texas listeners. We got a lot of good recommendations. Yes. And just a lot of people making us feel welcome. And people were excited that we were visiting Texas. And we really super duper do appreciate that.
And now we can't wait to go back.
Oh my gosh. And that, see, now I will think of it as a potential
as a destination.
Spring, even though the temperature dropped to 36 degrees the next day after the 89 degree day.
We had 8 days of like 7 days, 7 or 8 days.
Very pleasant swimming weather.
Between 75 and 89 degree weather. Like every day we were in the pool. It was just wonderful. It felt awesome. And then 36
well,
degrees.
Apparently it's a saying that you can experience all four seasons in 1 week in Texas.
Well.
And apparently that's true. I'm sure that doesn't happen in the summer. But I will think of Texas as a spring break
destination
for us in the future, because there's food, there's culture, there's cities, there's country. It's huge and it's got something of everything. I would like to go west and see El Paso and see some of the other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really feel the state is pulling me back for another trip at some point.
And I picked up Wesley from preschool and the first day that he was back and his teacher said, I heard all about your trip to Texas.
It's one of those trips that it wasn't just fun. You know, all the RV trips, all the camping trips are fun. This trip made an impression on the boys in a way that they're going to remember.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just like the Pacific Northwest last year. It's like seeing a part of the country that is completely different from the part of the country that you live in. And that's
just
fascinating.
America continues to surprise me. It continues to shock me with its diversity, with its different regions, with its wide-ranging beauty. And I mean, I'm in my early 40s at this point. I've seen a lot of the country, but there's a lot of the country I haven't seen. And the country just keeps surprising me over and over again. We live in really an amazing country for travel.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this wonderful Texas trip that we just took over our spring break to kick off our camping season. We're going to be back in a minute, and we're going to do the RVFTA news roundup.
We're gonna round it up.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you so much for listening. It's time for the RVFTA News Roundup. We got all kinds of cool stuff going on, but first we have a sponsored message from our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. And now you can rent through Outdoorsy in the United States and in Canada. And you have quite a few options out there for renting out your RV, so the important thing is to understand what makes Outdoorsy different. And there are a lot of things.
Starting with that $1 million insurance policy.
The most important thing.
They take it very seriously. And in all our conversations with the people at Outdoorsy, they always want to stress that they think they have the best insurance policy. And we do too.
Right. They're not trying to play people on that one. They really want to follow through and fix any issues that may come up when you're renting your RV. They also have roadside assistance and they have automatic DMV background checks, which is such a big win for owners.
I had to do one. We're renting a travel trailer to go to South Dakota this summer. We rented it through Outdoorsy, and I had to get that background check, and I passed. I was clean, man.
All right. They also have a Facebook group where owners can ask questions and share tips for best practices for renting out their RV and having the best user experience. Visit outdoorsy.com, and if you want, you can go to outdoorsy.com/list-your-rv. Lista-RV, which is the place where you can get all your questions answered about listing.
And look, one of our goals with Outdoorsy this year is one of our podcast sponsors is we want to experience both sides of the company. So we're going to get Penny up and running and listed as a rental on Outdoorsy. And as I just mentioned, we have already committed to renting a travel trailer that we are taking to Mount Rushmore in August. So we're going to experience everything Outdoorsy has to offer.
Fun times. All right. So now, speaking of experiencing everything that people have to offer, Cabela's is having on April 21st at the Hamburg store in Pennsylvania. They're having us there.
They invited us back. I was, for a while, like, you know, are they going to invite us back? And they did. They were so nice. So it's a camping weekend. It's like a celebrating Pennsylvania camping, and it's a camping themed weekend. There'll be other speakers there talking about camping in Pennsylvania. And of course, they're going to have all the great camping gear that they always have. And we will be there. And we're bringing Penny the pop-up camper.
We are.
We're going to set her up outside of the Cabela's somewhere in the front of the store probably. Mm-hmm. And we'll set up some of our favorite gear that we've been testing and using, you know, camping gear over the last 2 years. And if you want to stop by and say hello, we'll show you some of the things that we love.
Maybe if we bring our coolers, Ron will fill it with soda or something. I don't know.
Some sodas, some waters. We could get crazy. A little soda, a little water.
I don't know.
But we'll show you just a lot of the things we've been using. Cabela's is so well known for hunting and fishing. But if you've ever actually spent time in a Cabela's store, their camping section is just as huge as like their hunting and fishing sections, or it's pretty close, and they really do have everything you need to outfit your RV.
Yep. So if you want to come say hi, we'd love it. We always love to see our listeners at Cabela's. It's lots of fun. And to check out their complete line of outdoor products, visit cabelas.com.
Just a reminder that we have two matching episodes of Campground of the Week that go along with this Texas content. Jellystone Hill Country is this week. Jellystone Burleson is next week. We've got something fresh up on the blog, fresh as in like brand new today. I did an interview with John Fisher from Jayco about the new Hummingbird 10RK, which is the tiniest RV that Jayco makes, I think, really. Maybe one of their pop-up campers is just as tiny. But it's a really cool addition to the Hummingbird line. It is not teardrop-shaped, but it is sort of in the teardrop category in terms of size.
It might compete with people, you know, with people that are looking in the teardrop category.
And you know, why would I interview him about something like this? It's like, we are both fascinated with tiny trailers. And as I mentioned in the blog post, I think it's partly because it's like the forbidden fruit that we can't have right now with three kids in life. But I would really look forward to one day having something this small. It just looks so fun and adventurous.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that can have that.
True.
And they want that right now. So it's important for us to kind of show those things that are out there.
And we interviewed John Fisher about 2 years ago now when the Hummingbird line debuted. And he's just like really one of the nicest guys and one of the most interesting guys in the RV industry. So I just wanted like a chance to talk to him again. And Hummingbird has exploded as a line for Jayco.
Now, in case you missed it, we have the first video podcast up on our YouTube channel over at RV Family Travel Atlas, the YouTube channel, the pros and cons of a Class C. We were in a studio. They videotaped the entire studio session. So if you've ever just wondered what it would be like to watch us do the podcast.
What do they look like while they're talking? I mean, it's a fascinating proposition.
If you ever wanted to watch our mouths move, this is your opportunity to. So for a long time, people have been saying, well, I would prefer to watch you on YouTube. And we totally understand that some people love to listen to us while they're exercising or commuting. Other people are sitting on their couch and they prefer to watch things on YouTube. And we get that. So we're kind of just venturing into that world. And it's not going to be every episode, but we're starting to roll them out.
I think adventuring is the right way to put it. We are just experimenting with doing the podcast as a video podcast. We really enjoyed doing it the first time, and we're going to keep doing it whenever we can over the coming months.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do leave us an iTunes review for this or Campground of the Week if you listen to that podcast. We really do appreciate it when you do that. For everybody out there that's left us a review, thanks for, you know, making our hearts all warm and fuzzy, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we're approaching, I think, 300 reviews. So why don't you go and leave us a review and let's get pushed past that 300 point. I would personally love that. Also, if you like Facebook groups, we have RVFTA, the group, which we like to say is the friendliest RVing group in Facebook. We have our No Cranks Allowed policy, so people start arguing about black tanks or tongue weight or stuff like that, and it gets nasty. We just get people out of the group. So it really is.
Well, we ask them to be nice first.
Sometimes.
You get a warning.
Other times we just press the button. But it is really the friendliest RV group on Facebook, and we would love to see you join us over there.
All right, everybody.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.
Hopefully in Texas.